was human. It is sacrifice and all the blood that was shed and his body that had went through it and he died through that sacrifice also proves that he was human. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is talk about the Lord's Supper. So I apologize that our PowerPoint ain't going on, so I'll try to make sure I take my time getting to the verses as we go through it. And if you have the desire to have a copy of the lesson, I can get that to you also. The Lord's Supper. First thing I want to look at this morning is the fact that it is a memorial. This is a memorial, and it is a remembrance of our Lord and Savior. Remembering what it is Jesus indeed has done for us. You open your Bible to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. There are passages here and there that tells us to remember. Simply to remember the words of the Lord, or to remember His love, to remember what He has done. I want to look at a couple of those. And the fact that we're supposed to remember what our Savior has done. Acts 20 and in verse 35. Acts 20 verse 35. It says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So as they write, as they taught the word, the apostles did, they made the point to remember. Remember the words of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 8. Turn along with me there. Here it says, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. As he writes to Timothy, he says, remember this. Remember that Jesus, our Savior, was raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Remember these things. That's what the Lord's Supper is here for. The Lord's Supper is there so that we will remember. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you read along with me there, starting in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23. Since for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you do drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. They were to do this in remembrance. If you go back through the gospel, you'll see as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and that's why some of your Bibles might have those words in red, because this is what Jesus said. You can go back to Luke 22 and verse 13 as he says, do this in remembrance of me. That's what a memorial is. That's when, you know, we have those who we consider laid down their lives for our country, our vets, are those who served us, and now there are statues and certain things, memorials. Or we even have a certain day, Memorial Day, in which we take aside that we're supposed to remember what was sacrificed for us. Remember how things have been. And we're supposed to do that with our Lord and Savior. We're supposed to remember everything that Jesus has done for us. And when we gather on the Lord's Supper during the communion, this is remembering His death more than anything. Remembering the sacrifice that He has made for us. Remembering that He has done this for us. So as brought out in these verses in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 and 25, tells us what they represent. It says, take this bread, which is my body. And in verse 25, talking about the cup, which is his blood. That is what we're supposed to remember. That is what we're supposed to remember, is the blood and the body that he lived. The first point I want to talk about when we talk about the body, when we talk about the body and his sacrifice, the fact that he lived in a body was part of his sacrifice. We remember, as we talked about Jesus being deity, we went to John chapter 1 and we read verses 1 through 3. And we brought it out that Jesus was God. He was there in the beginning, and all things were made through Him. He indeed was there in heaven with our Father. But you jump down to verse 15, as we did last week, and we see that it says, and the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. He became human for you and me. Jesus went from being in heaven, where there is no pain, where there is no worries, where no one has any power over Him. And He came down to this earth for you and I. In Philippians chapter 2, if you will. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And start with me there and in verse 5. Philippians 2. And in verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So once again, Jesus was there in the beginning. Jesus is there with God. Jesus keeps His deed. Verse 7, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of a man. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So one thing, when we talk about the sacrifice of Christ, think how much of a sacrifice He made by just coming down here. By just being willing to step off the throne in heaven and to live a life upon this earth. That there is a sacrifice alone. I don't know if anyone's got a mansion here or not, but I believe we all got roofs over our head. Are you willing to give up everything that is comfortable with having air conditioning, having the refrigerator that keeps you cold, that has a roof over your head, having a restroom to go, and just go live on the streets? You'll become as low as you can. That's what it's like going from, I can't even imagine what it'd been like to go from heaven to living a life upon this earth. Jesus became human. And in doing so, He laid Himself out so that you and I have this opportunity. So that you and I have this opportunity. If you open your Bibles to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. We get into the part of Jesus' life here when He was betrayed. Once again, a part of His sacrifice and being human, as we talked about last week. Being betrayed. The temptation that comes along with that, but yet He remains faithful. But as He was betrayed, and Roman soldiers, of course, brought him before Pilate, He stands on trial. All this going through. They're mocking Him. Pilate was used to setting up prisoners and occasionally giving them back to the people. So he brought Barabbas out and asked, which one do you want? They called for Barabbas. They called back, sent him back to us. This thief, this murderer, this person that has no right, who has done many things wrong. And yet, they wanted Jesus to be crucified. That's what they shouted. What is to be done with this man? Crucify. Crucify. So here in Matthew 27, in verse 26, it says, then He released Barabbas to them, and when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified. Now, I had a picture for the PowerPoint here, because I wanted people to have the idea of what it means to be scourged. The Romans were pros at what they were doing. They had tested out many ways of torturing their victims. So when they scourged Jesus, they had these things that had leather, hangings off, and a rod that held it by. And on the ends and throughout this forging, there are pieces of steel, of spikes, a piece on the front that would be forms the grab edge, pieces of lamb bone is what I found that could have been in it. And just there's a lot of different things on this as they would beat our Savior with. And it, of course, it wouldn't just hit his back and come right off because of all the steel, the spikes, the bones that are in this weapon that they're using. And they look up the technical name. And it's not a whip. But as it would do that, it would rip into his skin. And they would have to yank it out of it. It would have to yank it out of it. Tearing his body apart. And of course, as we're on that point, we can't neglect the fact of how much blood our Savior would have lost during this war. Because that is the other part of the communion. Of remembering his sacrifice is the blood represented by the fruit of the vine. As he was being scorched, beat time after time, they were ripping his skin off. It wasn't just as someone might get a spanking and a belt hitting our booty. And then leaving a little red mark. This was stuff that was ripping into his skin. Ripping it apart. Latching and grabbing onto it as he was being scorched. And then they led him. Then they led him to be crucified. That's what it brings us. This wasn't just a simple sacrifice. When we see Jesus die for us, in today's mindset, we might have the idea of death row today. To the extent that we went from, you know, hanging where someone fall down and their naps simply snaps us, you know, if it goes right, there wasn't a lot of pain. To the extent of electric chair and water, electricity, and hopefully, again, there's not a ton of pain. If it's sunshine. And then to ejections, we're open. Jesus went through a torture before he got sacrificed. And then you go beyond that point. You read along with me, picking up in verse 27. You pick up here, Matthew 27, verse 27. It says, then Jesus, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered up the whole garrison around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. Now, remember, he just been scourged. So any touch is going to feel like more scourging coming on. They're taking off his clothes, putting on scarlet robe to mock him. And in doing so, I don't think they've been gentle. Because they're mocking. And in verse 29, it says, and when they twisted a crown of thorns. They put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and they mocked and saying, Hail, King of Jews. You know, I had a picture of a crown of thorns. You know, has anyone, you know, grabbed a rose or a flower and you get one of the little thorns stuck in your finger? Freaking, not fun. These are long thorns that they twisted. They didn't just place it gently on top of his head, but they twisted it down onto his head. And then they mocked. They mocked our Lord and Savior. Again, the body being pierced with the thorns. The blood that would have been running down from his head at this time because of the crown of thorns that is being put on his head. And with that crown of thorns on his head, verse 30 says, then they spat on him and took a reed and struck him on the head. So they twisted it down and then they struck him. They struck him and beat him. This is what our Savior went through. This is what sacrifice Jesus made for you. Jesus went through for me. That we might have a hope of eternal glory in him. In verse 31, it says, and when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and they led him away. Once again, they changed his clothes. Not allowing him to go down with this purple scarlet, making them look like royalty. They were simply mocked him at that point, so they changed the clothes back on. Once again, this is not going to feel good when you've already got all these slashes across you. And you got a crown of thorns on your head, you've been beat, scourged, mocked, battle on. They had to find someone else to carry his cross. He didn't have the strength to be able to continue. Now, what they were continuing to do, planning to do. Like I said, I didn't bring out all the statistics out on this, but what Jesus went through, a lot of people didn't survive. I know one preacher who said he had done a lot of study on this at once, and you can't prove that it was true, but he said he found one thing where it was reported, and I forget who he said reported, but he said that when Jesus' mother went to look for him after he's abortion, she had to ask which one is my son. And I'm not, like I said, I can't prove any of that. It's a preacher I do trust, and that does a lot of study and looking into the history. Imagine what he went through. Of course, today we're supposed to bear our own cross. Today we're supposed to be a living sacrifice for our Lord and Savior. And here is the person we got to line up. Here is the sacrifice that we're supposed to be looking for. The sacrifice we're supposed to be remembering. As we take the Lord's Supper. And look at all that he has gone through at this time and point. In Psalm 22, verse 16, there it talks about him being pierced in his hand. That they have pierced his hand. But I want to look at John 20, verse 27. You will with John 20, verse 27, proving that that was fulfilled. We talked about prophecies once already. But John 20, verse 27, here is Thomas, of course, doubting, saying, I won't believe until I see it with my own eyes. I won't believe until I can fill my Savior with my own hands. That's what exactly Jesus tells him to do. John 20, 27 says, then he said to Thomas, reach your fingers here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. This is what we have to believe. Thomas doubted it. And you continue on that point, verse 28 says, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet have believed. That's us. That's what we have to believe, is that he did go through this. Now, of course, he was resurrected. Think about it. When he was brought down that road, led to that mountain, and nailed to that cross, another picture I have. It's the spike that had pierced once again. They knew what they were doing because we brought out in the prophecies that not a bone was broken. And being scourged and being beat and with a crown of thorns, being nailed to a cross, not a bone was broken in our Lord and Savior. They nailed him. And then being nailed, he had been on the ground likely when they nailed him to it. They had to raise that cross up. And that cross would have had to fall into the hole, you know, as a post. And he would have been jerked down as it went down. With his hands being nailed to that cross. With his feet being nailed to that cross. And any time he would want to take a breath, he would have to push himself up with his feet being nailed to the cross. He'd have to push himself up to take that breath. And then he'd go back down. Think about what our Savior went through. You think about all that Jesus suffered as he went through this. Of course, in this verse, you may mention that, heal my side. Because you read in John 19. In John 19, and in verse 34. John 19, verse 34. Here they had decided that they were going to break the knees of all the criminals up there. Because the next day, they didn't want them up there during their feasts and their holidays and celebrating. So here in John, verse 19, verse 34, as they went up to do it to our Savior, it says, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. So they were about to break our Lord and Savior's test the theory, to make sure that he was dead, one of the men walked up with a spear and pierced his side, pouring out blood and gore. This is the sacrifice. This is the sacrifice Jesus made. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. He died for me. And we can't forget. We can't make this communion, this Lord's Supper, just a tradition. Because it's easy to get caught up in that set of mind. Well, it's just every Sunday, we gather together, and we might forget to truly think, to truly remember what it is Jesus went through. We already started the lesson off saying, remember what this blood, this fruit of the vine represents. Remember what the bread represents. Because if you turn back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, and you read with me starting in verse 27. Verse 27 says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. We take this in an unworthy manner. We take it just because it's something that we always do. If you take it with your mindset somewhere else, you take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. We are guilty of the blood of Christ. Verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It's a time that we're supposed to examine ourselves. This is the opportunity for you to reflect and say, look how much this man, look how much our God was willing to give for us. Why would we want to follow him? Why wouldn't we want to give back to him? He is our King. He is our God. He is our Savior. And this is what he's willing to do to prove his loyalty to us. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? Because if we don't do this, and we take the blood of Christ as a common thing, and we're not willing to obey, and to be baptized into Christ, to wash away your sins through his blood, and you know what the truth is. You believe that he is the Son of God. You understand that he's the Son of God. If you're not willing to do this, you're not willing to obey, you're not willing to remain faithful, what lies in store for? One more verse for this morning in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 26. It says, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, a fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who rejected Moses' law without mercy, on the testimony of two or three witnesses, of how much worse of punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Here it says how much of a punishment will come to those who know the truth. Yet just ignore. We want to extend the Lord's invitation. We want to extend the opportunity to any who believe that Jesus truly went through this and he was resurrected, because that is where our hope really relies. We are thankful for his sacrifice, but because he was resurrected, now we have hope. Now we have the opportunity because he has conquered death. He extends the opportunity to be an heir. Have a home in heaven. So if you desire to obey the gospel, you desire to be baptized because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe that it is only through him that your sins will be washed away, come forward. let it be known. We will baptize you and you can participate with us in remembering his sacrifice. So if you're here, you need a prayer for our vision, you desire to be baptized, please let me know. You stand.
We are the ordained lift him by the way. Who shall lead us on the road to your King today? There to stand like Joshua, there to say the word. As for me, Four songs left, we'll have one song before the Lord's Supper. So 470 notes.